Would you turn with me, please, to the second chapter of Esther, the book of Esther. If you'll be patient with me, I'm going to read from several chapters, just a little bit. Altogether, won't be much more than one chapter, so we can get the connections. Starting with the fifth verse of the second chapter of Esther. Now in Shushan the palace there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite. Seventh verse, and he brought up Hadassah, that is, Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. And the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. So it came to pass when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan the palace, to the custody of Haggai, that Esther was brought also unto the king's house to the custody of Haggai, keeper of the women. Verse 17. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Verse 21. In those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, of those which kept the door were wroth and sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. And the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen. And Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. Chapter 3. After these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, or Amalekite, and advanced him and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Verse 8. And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people of all the provinces of thy kingdom. And their laws are diverse from all people. Neither keep they the king's laws, therefore it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed. Chapter 4, verse 13. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house over against the gate of the house. And it was so when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter. that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, What wilt thou, Queen Esther? And what is thy request? It shall be even given thee to the half of the kingdom. And Esther answered, If it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I prepared for him. Then the king said, Cause Haman to make haste, that he may do as Esther has said. So the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared. And the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, What is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee, and what is thy request? Even to the half of the kingdom it shall be performed. Then answered Esther and said, My petition and my request is, If I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do tomorrow as the king has said. Chapter 6. On that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. And the king said, What honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this? Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, There is nothing done for him. Verse 11. Then took Haman the apparel and the horse and arrayed Mordecai, and brought him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaimed before him, Thus shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor. Chapter 7. So the king and Haman came to banquet with Esther, the queen. And the king said unto Esther on the second day of the banquet of wine, What is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? And it shall be performed even to the half of the kingdom. Then Esther the queen answered and said, If I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. Then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther, the queen, Who is he? And where is he that durst presume in his heart to do so? And Esther said, The adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. Verse 10. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. Now, you may think it strange to take up a passage like this in the Old Testament at a young people's meeting, but I believe it has a very special message, not only for the dear young people here this afternoon, but for each one of us. You know, this is the last of the historical books of the Old Testament. In fact, it's sort of like a little postscript at the end. Sometimes I remember receiving a letter from a brother not long ago, and beside the communication, he added a little postscript in which he spoke of his affections for my wife and I, from his wife and himself. And you know, these things are very touching, very precious. You know, God, at the end of all the history of God's people down here, he as much as says, I want to add a little postscript. And what is it? The people of God were going on badly. And the ones to whom this was written were not even with Ezra back in the land. They had been carried away captive, but the time had come for them to return. Ezra was back building the temple and walls, Nehemiah. But they weren't back. Now we don't know why Esther wasn't back, except that possibly being born in this land in captivity, she may not have had the opportunity, we don't know. But Mordecai perhaps could have gone back, but he wasn't back. And there may be some of you dear young people here this afternoon, I'm sure there are, who've never yet risen to your privileges. You know the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, and He's very precious to you, I'm sure. And you know, too, that you and I are not always doing the things that we should do. You know, too, that you and I make mistakes. Now, what I want to call your attention to particularly in this portion is that the love of our God will never change. Never. I don't want for a minute for you to understand that God will condone, will smile at evil. Never, never. But the affections of His heart are such that He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And that's what I'd like to stress. We don't have the name of God in this book, nor do we have the faults of His people. We just see a condition where everything is, as it were, at the very bottom, the last communication, perhaps, almost before Christ comes. And in this passage, we find that God is working behind the scenes. And here we have Mordecai in the palace of the king, Ahasuerus. In the first chapter, we find this king was over 120 provinces from India to Ethiopia. And yet his queen absolutely dared to refuse to come in to a banquet he had prepared. And so he sets his queen aside, and he chooses another queen. Who was behind that, if it wasn't God? Yes, he chooses another queen. Now I'd like to call your attention to the name of Esther. Her name was Hadassah. But you know, Esther, I believe, means myrtle. Now, I'm not an expert on plants, but I understand that myrtle is a tree, perhaps 6 to 20 feet tall, and it has a glossy leaves. It's an evergreen. And it, in its own season, it bears fragrant blossoms, either white or pink, as the case may be. Have you ever gone out in the country in the wintertime in the snow and you've seen an evergreen standing out by itself? And oh, how refreshing to see those glossy leaves. Ah, dear young people, I wonder if there are any Esthers, any Mordecais here this afternoon. In the days of darkness, even though you're not up to the full privileges that God has given you, perhaps you haven't realized them yet, I wonder if you're going to stand firm for Christ in the measure of the light that you have. Here we see Esther, a little babe, shall we say, a child, chosen to be queen over 120 provinces, perhaps a greater glory in a sense that even Solomon knew. But here she was. What caused all this? God's love for His people. We see in the later chapters there was an enemy arising, Haman. And his purpose was to destroy all of God's people, and that would have meant Jerusalem too. It had been the complete destruction of the Jews. But here were their two cousins, Mordecai and his cousin Esther. In the palace, God had put them there. And I'd like to call especially to one verse here that has impressed itself on my heart in the fourth chapter that we've read. In the 14th verse, the last part, "And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Now, dear young people, we're closing the year 1969. We don't know what another year will bring forth, but we know the character of the day. Oh, such a time as this. What kind of a time is it? It's a time when the foundations are being destroyed. The truth is being set aside. When it calls for individual faithfulness on the part of God's people. Now you have been placed in the place, in the, under privilege. Most of you here have been brought up in Christian homes. We're living in a world that doesn't know God. Did you ever thought why you were where you were? You know, there was a time when God had to say to Elijah, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" He was in the wrong place. And where are you this afternoon, dear young people? Are you in the place of privilege? Do you realize what a privilege it is to stand out like Esther? Like a symbol, as it were, a blessing for God's people. Yes, we see here devotedness on the part of Esther and on the part of Mordecai. We find, however, that when Mordecai finds this message of ruin for his people, he falls upon his face in sackcloth. And Ruth herself, or Esther herself, with her maidens, they fall on their faces and they call for all the Jews of the city to fall on their faces. Now, brethren, this is a principle. If you and I expect blessing, if we expect to be used of God, we'll have to be on our faces. We will. We see here how simple all these precious things are. God is working behind the scenes. He's ordering everything. He's setting aside a queen. He's setting aside Haman, the chief prince of the kingdom, so he can bring in those that will be for the blessing of his people. But this calls for individual exercise in faith and humbling on the part of his people. And oh, how precious it is, and we have seen it and do see it. We're dear young people, determined that they're going to follow the Lord. I heard just recently of two young people that were getting up real early to read their Bibles. Oh, how good to hear that. But also to be on our faces before God. That's the only way of blessing. And here we see in all their simplicity, these two dear ones, in the midst of all the ruin. It's true they weren't at Jerusalem where they belonged. But still, there was purpose of heart to serve the Lord where they were. And so we find them on their faces before God. Now it's in this state of soul that Esther goes in before the king. You know, there was a law in that land that no one could come into the presence of the king unless he himself appointed it, and unless he held out the golden scepter to them. He had the power of life and death in his hands. Now, Esther had reminded Mordecai of this. She says, how can I go into the king? If I go in to intercede for my people, I'll be slain, possibly. I have no right there unless he calls. Well, Mordecai said, you're bound up with the rest of them. Don't think you'll escape. You won't escape. If the decree goes forth to slay all the Jews, you will be one of them. You know, it's a good thing, dear young people, to discover where we belong. I remember of a young man, I heard of a young man who was talking with someone who was an atheist. And he himself had not definite convictions as to the truth. He wasn't saved. But when the atheist began speaking against Christ, he decided he'd better defend. And the result was that he was converted. Converted himself. Possibly through scriptures he'd learned as a child. We don't know. And it's a good thing to decide right now where you and I stand. Where do we stand? Esther had to come to that place. Where do we stand? Do we stand with God's people or do we stand with the enemy? What a decision for Esther to make. Here she was in the very place of prominence in that kingdom, the queen. Was she going to take her place with that man who lay in sackcloth at the king's gate, Mordecai? Make up your mind, dear young people. It's a day of rejection. The day's coming, glory, blessing. Today is a day of rejection. Are you going to identify yourself with the rejected one? Or are you going to go on and use that which God has given you outwardly just to adorn yourself and to make it easy for yourself down here? Are you? Am I? Esther made her choice. She made her choice in the presence of God on her face. She goes in and stands before the king and she says, if I perish, I perish. You know, in the Song of Solomon, it says, love is as strong as death. How strong is yours? I'm sure it refers to the Lord Jesus. But how strong is your love and mine? It says, jealousy is cruel as the grave. What does the grave do? It takes old and young. It doesn't spare any. Oh, dear young people, is Christ first in your life, in mine? What a decision for Esther to make. She made it. You know, man, when a man's ways please the Lord, it maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And we learn here from this book that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will. I may not have quoted that quite right. Yes, he turneth it whithersoever he will. I have loved thee with an everlasting love, he says to his people. Is Ephraim my dear son? What was Ephraim doing? Going after his idols? Yes. Is he my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? Oh, brethren, it breaks our hearts. Breaks our hearts. God is always true to what he is. Never varies one moment. You and I do. God doesn't change. If he took you up for blessing, he's going to see you blessed. Come what may. Oh, we're not speaking this afternoon of his government. It's bitter sometimes, you know, but that's not the subject. Because, you know, dear brethren, as we were singing that little hymn, if you and I could only get a glimpse of that love of our God for us, how different it would be in our ways. No, brethren, the answer is not the whip. It's the heart, its affections drawn to Christ. The heart's affections drawn to Christ. To know that love of God for you and for me that never varies one moment. What wilt thou, Queen Esther? What is thy petition? That's the answer. Why? Because the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Can't be otherwise. You know, there's nothing like faith that pleases God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Do you want to please him? Well, that's the way. And if there was ever a day when there was that simple, childlike faith needed that's just simply trusted and clung to God, it's today. A day like this. Well, Esther says, I want you to come to a banquet tomorrow. Why didn't she give her petition? No. Oh, I think there's a lovely type here, and I'm not going to say much about it, but just a little. Mordecai has to be exalted first. And who is he? He's a type of Christ. He's the man that God delights to honor, and there's only one. It's Jesus. Oh, how precious. Esther hesitates. She will not make her petition yet. There's never going to be any blessing for Israel till Christ is exalted. Now let's apply it. There never will be any blessing in your life spiritually until Christ is exalted. Never. Christ must have, shall I say, the first place? Someone corrected me and they said he has to have it all. He has to have it all. Oh, how good this is. That we might get broken down, dear young people, to where we belong. Discover our position. Discover that state of soul that brings us into God's presence where we have that confidence that Esther received here. You know, he that believeth shall not make haste. I love to remember what our dear brother Jackson has said. If in doubt, don't. Don't. Just wait upon God. We have that in the 27th Psalm. I wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait. Oh, how many times we've made mistakes to be in a hurry, especially in serious matters like this. And so Esther waits. Oh, how good it is she waits. How beautiful the picture here. And the king can't sleep that night. Something is bothering him. What is it? Why, way back, Mordecai, who sat in the gate, had discovered that there were two who were seeking the life of the king. And they were found out and they were hanged. And the king had it inscribed in the chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia. And this night he couldn't sleep. There was something wrong. Something bothered him. God was working in his secret ways in the heart of that king. And he calls for the chronicles, the records to be brought out, and he discovers Mordecai had saved his life. He says, has any dignity? This is the man whom the king delights to honor. Oh, what a lovely picture of Jesus. Of the one that God delights to honor and will honor publicly in the coming day. And there'll be no blessing for man on earth in the kingdom of Israel until the Lord Jesus himself is publicly honored. Yes, this is the man whom the king delights to honor. And now we find the banquet is called the second banquet that Esther requested. Oh, how solemn occasion this was. Here was a a little girl, shall we say. Just a little girl. She's queen. And she's going to stand face to face with the enemy of God's people. Oh, how this speaks of days of weakness. And it touches my heart, dear young people, that in days of weakness, God picks up and uses what he pleases. A left-handed man, if you please, as we have in the book of Judges. Don't be discouraged if you don't have the abilities that you see others might have. Don't be discouraged. It's a day of weakness. And here's dear Esther without anything except what God would supply. Faith. Faith that rests upon God. And there she stands face to face and accuses that wicked Haman. Mordecai wouldn't bow to him because he was an Amalekite. God had told the Jews that they were to have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Mordecai wouldn't bow to him. He didn't have to. God had already provided that he was in the king's favor. God had provided this. Oh, how thankful we should be for God's ordering in our ways. How we should appreciate this. He does. He orders it every step for us if we only knew it. We do well to wait upon him. And now Aunt Esther turns, says this wicked Haman to his face. Isn't that the boldness of faith? She accuses the chief prince in the kingdom to the king. Isn't that a pretty serious matter? These are the ways of God's deliverance for his people. Now I know this is an outstanding account, but it gives us the principles of the workings of God in the last days when everything is in ruins. And when you and I, dear young people, may not be exactly in the right position that we should be. We may be unintelligent as to all of God's ways. But there's one thing sure. We have a precious Savior. Our God loves us, and he has power over all of our circumstances. And if you and I just trust him, and we do like Esther and Mordecai get on our faces before him, we'll discover what they discovered. That he'll never forsake you nor leave you. And you know, there's no temptation beset you but what is common to man. And God has provided a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. Never put you in a position but what you'll be able to meet it. Isn't that precious? Isn't that a comfort, dear young people, in the last days? Don't go away and get discouraged. Don't say, well, everything is in ruins. No, it isn't. God is working. He has his hand underneath it all. Outwardly, it's in ruins. But you know, God's time clock is right on time. He's ordering his ways for the glory of the Lord Jesus and for the blessing of God's people. Oh, you see how he's working for the deliverance of all of these, his people that he loves. He's going to move kingdoms, but he's going to use an Esther and a Mordecai. I take them to be both young people. They were cousins. One perhaps older than the other, but perhaps young people. Esther surely was. God was using them. Yes, it's a day when God uses young people today. Are you one of them? Or are you going to say, well, I'm going to wait till I get older and I know a lot, then maybe God can use me. Be too late. Be too late. So in this seventh chapter then, third verse, then Esther the queen answered and said, "If I found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me in my petition and my people at my request. For we are sold," notice that we are sold, "I and my people, I and my people." Oh, how good this is. How Esther could have been different. How she could have said, "Well, I'm going to shy away from this. I'm going to take my place in the palace and let come what may. I'm safe." Oh, no, she wasn't. "I and my people to be destroyed and to be slain and to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage." Then the king Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther the queen, "Who is he? Where is he that doth presume in his heart to do so?" And Esther said, "The adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman." In the 10th verse, he's hanged. Now, what happens following this? In the following chapters, we see the full deliverance of God's people by the decree of the king. And we see at the very last chapter, Mordecai, the one who lay in sackcloth at the king's gate, the one who, in his devotedness to the interests of God's people and to God, would defy that wicked Haman and would direct Esther as to what she should do in behalf of God's people. In the last chapter, notice it, in the last chapter, there are 10 chapters in this book. "And the king Ahasuerus laid a tribute upon the land and upon the isles of the sea, and all the acts of his power and of his might and the declaration of the greatness of Mordecai, whereunto the king advanced him, are they not written in the book of the chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia? For Mordecai the Jew was next unto the king Ahasuerus, great among the Jews and accepted of the multitude of his brethren, seeking the wealth of his people and speaking peace to all his seed." If there are any of you, dear young people, this afternoon that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, remember that you cannot start with God without having your sins forgiven. You must, at the start, know the Lord Jesus as your own personal Savior. But then once you have, remember, God loves you. And you're going to begin discovering what's in your own heart a little bit, as the people of God did. And you're going to discover, too, as you do so, the marvelous love of God that will meet you. And where there is this state of Mordecai and Esther, to be on our faces before God, oh, what a blessing. And then to think that God would take up any of us, and he will, to use us in blessing to others. It might be in the gospel, it might be in blessing for his people, might be for the deliverance of his people. But I say the pattern we have here. To be on our faces before God, to recognize his secret ways in days like this, and to wait upon him, to not be in haste, but to wait upon him for his blessing. And then to stand out in simple faith, in boldness, having the consciousness of having been in his presence, to act for him in a day and such a time as this.